Are we okay to start? Sorry, maybe I should have said, Ms. Dunn, is that okay for us?
Yes, sure.
Yep.
Yes, the recording has started.
Fine.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this afternoon. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item. As you not take part in the vote, you will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item that the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when the vote is being taken. I'd remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Councillors, I'll take apologies very briefly first before I move on to Chairman's remarks. Is there any apologies? No. Okay. Councillors, I was very saddened to learn of the passing of Councillor Michael Carr. Councillor Michael Carr is always a true gentleman in any and every interaction that I had with him in either the chamber or outside of it. He always contributed. He always engaged in a very very thoughtful way. I know he had a great love for golf, and even though our disagreements about which is a bigger economic driver, be it mountain biking or golf, he always approached interactions cordially. On behalf of myself, on behalf of the South Down Alliance, and I really do want to extend my deepest sympathies to the Carr family, and as well to the wider SDLP family fraternity, who I'm sure are experiencing a lot of hurt right now. So thank you. Councillor McAteer, yes.
Sure, yeah, if you don't mind, actually, and you've opened the comments about our late colleague, Michael, certainly I would like to be associated with your comments, and Michael was a very keen contributor to this particular committee as well, going over many, many years in terms of Warren Point and the wider area, and it was very instrumental in bringing certainly a lot of golf tours to the area in his career as well, and but he was a great contributor to council. By all the remarks that were made in the last few days, he was extremely well respected among the council, councillors and council staff as well. So it's a deep loss for his family, and a deep loss as well for family and community. And certainly, I think the council should, this committee should send a letter of condolence to the family as well. It's not that long ago, really, since he left us, So thank you, Chair.
No problem, Councillor McAteer. And yes, I think that would be more than suitable to send said letter. Councillor Riley.
Yes, I would just like to be associated with your comments, Michael was an outstanding councillor, a man who really did care about the area where he lived. And the thing that I always found about Michael was, if you went to him and said, look, is there any way you could help me with this? He would have done his best to help you out and maybe persuade his SDLP colleagues and some thing or other. And that was what real local politics was about. And I think it would be sadly missed now. So I would want to be associated with Andrew's comments and pass on our condolences to Michael's family. He definitely was a true gentleman.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Councillor Ryan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'd also like to be associated with your remarks in relation to Mickey Carr. I have to say, I joined council in 2001 alongside Mickey. That's 18 years we served in council together, and I have to say I have the utmost respect for him. He was a gentleman to the last, and I was deeply saddened to learn of his passing. So on behalf of myself and the Sinn Féin group, we'd like to send our deepest condolences to his family, friends and to his colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Ryan. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. I too would like to be associated with all the comments that went before me. I only came into the council in 2014 in the shadow councillor council, so I did, and to be quite honest with you, I always found Michael to be one of the most thorough of councillors in following up in figures and where monies are going and one thing or another, and to be and he always was on top of it. He always was there willing to give you a word of support. So he was, might not always agreed with me what I said, but in saying that there, myself and the DUP group would like to be associated with all that's been said, and if there's anything to be sent, we're happy to have ourselves included in it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Burgess.
Yes, Chair, I also would like to be included in all that's been said before about Michael. Michael was a true gentleman, a one-off. He was more help and support at anything that was ever done, and he believed in council and all that council was for. And on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party, my sympathy goes out to his family at this time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Councillor Tinnelly.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I too, as a Crotleaf councillor and former colleague of the late Megan Carr, want to be associated with everything that's been said here, Chairman. Michael, I found Michael to be a man of the highest integrity and decency, and he was also very friendly towards me, Chairman, and was a confidant to me on more than one occasion when I needed things sorted out that I wasn't able to get sorted myself. So he'll be sadly missed by the people of Warren Point and the wider Crotleaf area, and he done his best in his time in council and was there a long time along with his colleague there, Councillor Rowan. So it's a sad day. It's a sad day to get that news yesterday. And my deepest condolences to Kay and his family. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah. Just what echo what's been said, he was a real gentleman. I recall two things about him. One, he was never party political about council finances. He held management to account. Second of all, I was always grateful for him for giving me a very good briefing before I went on to the board of the fire service, which stood me in very good stead this last 5 or 6 years in that particular job. I was able to hit the ground running. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Again, there was very warm, thoughtful words, and hopefully they can bring some comfort to the Carr family and the wider SDLP family. Again, just I suppose really tonight is the last night of this term or this year, and it's what a strange year it's been for me trying this meeting. It's not been without difficulties. It's been strange looking at sort of 2 centimetre by 3 centimetre sort of pixelated squares rather than getting to see us all in person. and the relationships that bring. So I suppose I just want to thank you all really for contributing over the year, but also want a particular thanks to the council officers that have sort of helped throughout the year, Mr. McGilley, Mr. Patterson, Mr. Jackson, Mr. McKay, and Mr. Mallon, the director here, and how they have helped me and helped you throughout the year, and also to the Democratic services that have really kept me right and helped me keep things ticking over. So that'll be Ms. Taggart, Mrs. Dillon, Ms. McKeever, and Ms. McAteer. Thank you all very much for your help over the last while. Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to come in there before you go on to the agenda, but if you just permit me, I want to thank you for your efforts throughout the year, Chair. You kept everybody under control. Not difficult to do, as you say, through a screen. It's been a very peculiar year for everybody, but well done. Chairman, the matter I wanted to raise, an urgent matter, and a very pressing matter, as I see it, Chairman, is about the ongoing instances and the escalating incidents of antisocial behaviour within the confines of the wider Kibrooney Park, Chairman. Now, that culminated in an incident last night where a family were actually intimidated out of the caravan site. So, do you want to take that now? Or
no,
I think it is something for us to discuss.
Chair, you're quite correct in bringing it, and I'm glad, and you wouldn't be the only councillor that has raised it. There is an item for noting, item 15, which is possibly more pertinent to the subject in hand. So if it would suit Councillor Tinley, we will raise the subject, but it'll be dealt with at item number 15, if that's okay. So thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor Enright, I think my perception seems to be okay for me. I'm not can't speak for anybody else, but we'll move on. So item number 2 is any declarations of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest this evening? Nope. Okay. So item number 3 is the action sheet. And apologies just in my haste to try and log in. I haven't got it in front of me here. If you just give me a second. Okay, so action sheet. Okay, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Okay, do we need a proposer and signer for that, or can we continue? We're okay to continue. Okay, thank you. So we're now on to item number 4, which is to consider notice of motion. And the way this will be taken is, I think Councillor Enright, this is brought before by Councillor Enright and Councillor Brown, so I'm not sure if Councillor Brown is on the call, but I can certainly see Councillor Enright. So if you bring in Councillor Enright, and then we'll take a report from the council officer regarding it, and then we'll open it up for wider discussion. So, Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. I hope you can hear me. Reception has been cutting in and out at my end. Well, thanks to you and my ERT colleagues for considering this motion. I think we're all aware that the Downpatrick Town Centre Development Project is a shadow of what was originally in the Council's Downpatrick Master Plan, and it certainly wasn't what was originally envisaged by the DEA. This motion addresses what we feel should be a phase 2 in this project to address the major emissions. Contrary to the management report supporting this particular item, we are not suggesting the delays or postponement in phase 1. The briefing document from Jonathan McGilley suggests that we're trying to introduce delays in the process. Nothing could be further from the truth. We want the phase 1 to steam ahead. But there are very important phase 2 issues that we need to address. And I hope you received the diagram I sent you earlier today. of the town car park, the Downpatrick town car park, because I know a lot of you aren't familiar with Downpatrick, and maybe having a picture would help you understand what I was talking about. If you can see the way in which I've put red boxes in each of the other car parks. Now, the Downpatrick Master Plan very much envisaged all these car parks would become part of a giant pedestrian area. It wasn't suggesting that the private car parks should be taken over by the council, but they could perhaps be separated by tasteful bollards. But enabling people to walk, say, for instance, from the chemist to Market Street or from Irish Street to St. Patrick's Avenue. If you look at the car park on the top right with the giant wall around the police station, it's separated by a 30-foot wall from the chemist. In a similar way, there are other very unsightly, ugly, crumbling walls of between 15 feet and 30 feet tall. We wouldn't want it to impose this sort of project on phase one of the project, but we feel that it, in order for the development overall to be successful, it needs to address it's really only addressing about 45% of the site. I mean, 55% of the site's effectively being not ignored. The second point in the diagram is where I show you the exit out onto St. Patrick's Avenue. And again, we're not suggesting that should be done as part of phase one, but as a phase two. And if you click on the Google link that I sent you, you will see the image of the three porter cabins on St. Patrick's Avenue where that road was supposed to come out. And this was going to be called New Road. And indeed, Dermot Curran and myself campaigned for some 15 years with other councillors to acquire the police station in order to create the possibility of New Street and the improved access that would result from this development. Now, these three porter cabins have never been developed in line with the area plan, and every other site on St. Patrick's Avenue has been developed along that side. And the reason why it hasn't been developed is because within the planning for the Downpatrick area, we always envisage that as being the exit out onto St. Patrick's Avenue. In summary, the Downpatrick Master Plan has envisaged the pedestrianisation and the connectivity of the centre of the town without these huge dividing walls. It envisaged hugely improved access for parking in our own old declining retail centre with what was called New Street in the Downpatrick Master Plan, connecting Irish Street and St. Patrick's Avenue. And as I say, we campaigned for 15 years to try and acquire the police station and the lands around in order to create this vision. Well, could I say it's important to understand that we support phase one going forward, but we do want to start planning for phase two, because what is within phase one is really only a small fraction of the overall centre, and it's not addressing the need for connectivity, for pedestrianisation, or for access with regard to vehicle parking within our own town centre. I note that Jonathan McGilley in his documents and in previous presentations has emphasised that he'd be very much for innovative proposals from bidders for this project. I would say that if these innovative proposals addressed the pedestrianisation and the connectivity with the other car parks, maybe we should support it. And if the innovative bids also suggested the original exit out onto St. Patrick's Avenue should be looked at. As Jonathan McGilley has said, we are open to such approaches by the bidders. But assuming that the bidders won't pick up on these items, I think it's important for the future of Downpatrick that we do ourselves address this as part of a phase two to the project, in order to maximise the benefit of the town centre development overall. I hope that explains, and I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Councillor Knight. Councillor Brown, are you on the call and wish to contribute to your motion as well, Councillor Brown?
No, I'm happy enough, Chair. Feel free to take other committee members on.
Okay. At this stage, I'm just going to open up the councillor, or sorry, Mr. McGilley, to talk through the report, and then we'll take questions from that stage on. Okay, so Mr. McGilley.
Okay, Chairman, thank you. Yeah, Chairman, what I have presented this evening is just really a paper to give some background to how we got to where we are in terms of the project. And obviously, the motion has put forward a number of points. Chairman, so it was really from a factual perspective, the site become available, as councillors will know, a number of years ago. At that time, the council, along with the DSA, commissioned a feasibility study to look at the opportunity to purchase the site and whether it was feasible. That was concluded and discounted a number of options, but the preferred option, which was agreed by the council, was that the site would be procured to realise a mixed-use development through a development brief process. The council then set about DFC procured the site at that time, which, you know, as they had funding available to do so. And as a result, as part of that, the council then explored the purchase of an adjoining strip of land or a strip of land between the council car park and the former police site, which has just recently been acquired following negotiations between the valuer and the owner. So that has all been approved. So what is presented in the development brief is the red line around the land that is in the ownership of the council and DFC. Now, that is progressing. Obviously, then the council and DFC established a programme board or a project board, which involves all of the Downpatrick DEA councillors and a number of local stakeholders to drive the project forward. The soft market test has been completed, which demonstrates that there is interest in the site from both the local community and from developers. And the development brief has been developed around that. I suppose in terms of access and other lands, the development brief has been prepared in such a way in draft and will be presented to the programme board, I think there's a date in the diary, towards the 21st or the 22nd term of this month to present that to the programme board for sign-off. However, the development brief won't close the door on developers who will come forward potentially with other lands to realise additional benefits above and beyond. So the opportunity is there for that to happen. That process will be kick-started with a prior information notice that it hopefully will go out to the public into the public through CPD this week. But as I said, the issue of the development of adjoining lands is not closed off. I suppose the challenge is that if the council were to pursue that at this time, it would delay the process because we couldn't carry out a development brief, neither could DFC, on lands that we didn't own. But it's not to say that that can't happen through the private sector proposal. Also, just in terms of the wider public realm, that is something that is being explored. However, again, that can only be carried out on public land. So I suppose really what I'm just presented there is a broad snapshot of how the project has got to where it is to give some context for the debate as part of the notice of motion, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Curran, you've indicated there.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just that in relation to what Dr. Dugan had said, my fear was if we were going down, just an overall fear was that if we were going down to purchase land or something now, at this particular point in time, as Jonathan has already said there, we could delay the whole thing up because we'd have our brief would be delayed together and suspended for a period of time. But asking Cadogan now, what he's saying now is in relation to that the stage one and everything connected with stage one, because we need stage one has had to go on because it's important to Downpatrick that we don't have any pickups here at this particular point in time. Could I ask Cadogan just now, and while to ask them, is he saying now that he is fully supporting of stage one to go ahead as it is at the present point of time, and then under stage two, which is later two, and I would say yes in the future, if land becomes available, As far as entering into the Paddocks Avenue, yes, I would support that, to purchase that land. I would do that because we do need an entrance into the Paddocks Avenue. In relation to the car parks, which you mentioned earlier, there, yes, they should be developed and things together. But I have been talking to one of the owners of the car parks, and they're very persistent in the sense that they are their own private car parks, and that we wouldn't, what we are going to suggest, that we might be taking that away from them, that privacy of their car park. But again, at the same time, under stage two, I think this, we should be negotiating here with the people in relation to what we're going to do with the car parks, because I think we need to give them a better picture of what there is. And the overall position as far as the overall car parks and these is concerned, yes, I would go down that line. The only fear that I had is that the original one was that we were going to try and purchase land now, and that would delay the whole brief for the first stage that got there. But I'm delighted tonight that Cadogan has confirmed and reassured me that that's not the case to go there. And I would just like him to reassure me again that that's the case. And under Section 2, we will pursue the purchase of land to get onto St. Patrick's Avenue, and secondly, we will negotiate with the people as far as the car parks are concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Curran. Councillor, do you want to briefly give Councillor Curran sort of an answer that will allow him either to support this motion or sort of not support this motion?
I phrased this motion to ensure that it reflected the concerns that Dermot had about not losing the opportunity of phase one. And obviously my preference would have been we would have done it all in the way Downpatrick Master Plan envisaged, but clearly we don't want to delay phase one. But we do need to address these other matters as a part of phase two in order to make sure we don't have a half the land area developed and the rest looking like a bomb has hit it. And the whole access and pedestrianisation can be tackled as part of phase two. It doesn't need to get in the way of phase one.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hannan. Do the courtesy of letting Councillor Riley in first. Okay, so okay. Councillor Riley, please.
Thanks, Chairman. No, I'm not totally familiar with the project, obviously, but I was just going to ask, what was the degree of local consultation, and were all the stakeholders fully involved? And just from what Jonathan McGillie said there, that seems to have been the case. But how do you feel about that, Cadogan? Do you believe there was sufficient local consultation and the views of local stakeholders taken on board?
In the last term of council, the previous five councillors did all write in, including Dermot, and express concern over the fact that the original Downpatrick Master Plan development was not being considered by management. But we didn't have enough numbers on the ERT committee from the Downpatrick DEA to do anything about it. So essentially it was pushed through by councillors outside of our DEA area. Now, obviously we have a new set of councillors in our DEA area now, but the board of that was set up by Jonathan and management to consider this project up until now have been a bit nervous about the way the project was going. And we had at the last meeting endorsed the project because they were being a bit more flexible in their thinking in terms of where we were going to go. So it was in that context that I introduced the phase two motions, just to make sure that we didn't end up with a partial plan. I think the original plan essentially envisaged just selling off the site, potentially just for housing. And I think everybody on the board was very worried about that. Now we've got reassurances since that time, and I think we're mostly happy with it. But I think there is a feeling that when we're standing in our brand new car park and our brand new development, we should still be able to go to the bank or the chemist or the off license, or people should be able to move around the site. And each and every one of those private car parks I highlighted in my diagram will still be private car parks. they'll still have their own entrances. They'll still be able to open, for instance, after 9 o'clock to make sure that commuters can't fill them up. But they'll be separated by bollards rather than 30 foot tall, 6 foot wide walls, and make the whole area much more, make the public realm much more attractive in the same way that we did in, say, St. Patrick's Square, for instance. I hope that answers.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. Councillor Hanlon, you've been very patient there, and as a Downpike DA, I'm very happy to bring you in. So, Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to the motion. I personally would have a lot of concerns with this motion, Cadogan, to be honest with you. I think it demonstrates maybe a lack of understanding of what we're doing or what we're trying to do. I didn't detect any kind of discussions at previous stakeholder meetings that talked about car parks or, you know, that taking over private land. With regard to, you know, going down through into St. Patrick's Avenue, I mean, that has been well rehearsed at every meeting that we have, that DFI have stated that it's only going to take like half a minute off the traffic time, and it's really just, it's not a runner. Maybe I'm wrong on what I'm saying, but, you know, it is discussed at every meeting. But now we're going to go back and we're going to potentially scupper this project, and we're going to maybe, like you talk about people being nervous, developers could be nervous at the fact that we're trying to acquire private land at a scheme that has already got a red line drawn around it on what the development brief has gone out on. So I just have serious concerns with it. In terms of a phase one and phase two, that was never really discussed before. So I don't know if that's something that'll come up on the soft market development brief that we get at the end of the month. I'm not sure about that. But it just seems to be complicating something that really and truly is so visionary for Downpatrick. And it's one of the best opportunities we've had in many, many years to transform the town centre. And this, to me, is just muddying the waters with it at the minute. Certainly, maybe after we get the brief or we get developer interest, you could look at it. But at the minute, it's almost nearly going to set us back and halt the project, in my mind. Thanks, Andy.
No problem. Okay, I take it nobody else wants to come in, so I am presuming...
Chair, can I just come in and just ask for some clarity? Just as I read the notice of motion and the wording of the notice of motion, I'm just picking up that some of the proposals and suggestions probably don't fully align with the recommendations or with the notice of motion wording. So I'm wondering, is there an amendment? Was there an amendment proposed by Councillor Curran and accepted by Councillor Enright, or has Councillor Enright suggested amendments to the motion during his presentation?
To answer that, Chairperson, the last paragraph in the motion makes it clear that we're talking about a stage two. We can clarify that if you wish. But in the second last line, it says, or part of stage two. So we can amend it to make it exclusively part of stage two if you want.
I mean, if you want to amend your own motion, Councillor Enright, that is probably up to you. So we'll take that amendment that you have suggested. Does that allay any of your concerns, Councillor Hanlon, or... does that not allay any of your concerns?
So are we letting the development brief go ahead the way it is and just parking the stage two to later? So that, you know, because that wasn't my reading of the motion to begin with. So, you know, it was suggesting acquisition of land and, you know, looking at the private car parking. But now we're just talking about something completely different. So we're letting the project go ahead as it is. And then if a stage two happens in the future, then we could look at it.
Well, no, it's suggesting that we agree a stage two now, but not in any way to interfere with stage one, that we would look at those giant walls that separate the car parks later, and that we would consider the original plan for access onto St. Patrick's Avenue later, and not as part of the phase one development.
But okay, given under phase two before, you know, is there a proposal there that we now look at a stage two? And could I suggest that we would defer that decision until after we get the development brief? And I know I can't make that proposal because I'm not a member of the committee, but I do think we need to see the development brief first and then make these decisions.
Well, the reason why I raised the question was because I was concerned about the position that we were finding ourselves in about trying to acquire land at this particular point in time. That would have put back our development brief. And at the present time, as Councillor Hanlon said, Downpatrick, this is needed for Downpatrick. We've got to go ahead. This is the first opportunity we've got for a long, long time to develop Downpatrick and bring it up to what it should be for the future. And bring our businesses, support our businesses to get there. Now, the first time that I saw something was mentioned about stage two was in the brief this evening, in relation to the brief this evening, and that's the first time I saw it. And the reason why I mentioned it was because I didn't want anything at all to stop us going forward with, if you want to call it stage one at this particular point in time. But if there's other things out there that can help in the development of the reef for Downpatrick, then I would support them so big at a later date, but not at this particular point in time, because I want things to go ahead. And maybe it's what I call, when we get the brief to see what's happening here in full, maybe then we can sit down and see. But all I want to do is to get a commitment from Cadogan tonight that nowhere along the line will stage one, if you want to call it stage one, be hampered at all, so that we can go ahead and get the Patrick developed at that particular time. If there's something else that can be happened at a later date, if you want to put it not stage three, but at a later date, then I would support it that we could. And I think there is an opportunity here for the North of Patrick's Avenue. It could be for people to come back and forth into the car park and into the car park out there. And that's why I wanted Cadogan to give me a commitment tonight that nothing would stop us going ahead at the present point in time as far as stage one is concerned.
I agree.
We've had quite an extensive turn through. Councillor McAteer, you're in with the question. Before we do on that, Councillor Knight, is there any amendments you can make to this to sort of take into consideration the points of Hanlon and Councillor Kern have made in order to progress this? I'll go and take in Councillor McAteer with his point while you maybe try and reword an amendment to sort of progress this. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, well, it's just to ask Councillor Enright just that, or to clarify that, you know, part of number one in his motion, it clearly states that it is acquired and protected as part of this project. So I don't think people are going to agree with that one, because that would elongate the whole process out. So I would hope that he'd be withdrawing that, but he's clarifying. And I presume that's what Dermot's alluding to.
Can I answer?
Point one seems to be a bit of a sticking issue. Councillor Enright, if you could propose as well whatever amendments that you think might acquiesce.
Two things. I'm suggesting an amendment to the third paragraph in the motion, where we remove the section that says part of the existing project or part of a. Okay, and we simply leave this should be done as a stage two. Okay, and just to answer Councillor McAteer's question. The land we're talking about is not being protected for this project. It's actually protected under the Ards and Down Area Plan. And the Ards and Down Area Plan prohibits development in that area because it was, as Dermot says, the area where it was envisaged the road would emerge out onto St. Patrick's Avenue. So it's not being protected for this project at all. It's being protected by the Down and Ards Area Plan. And that's why there's been no development of those three quarter cabins on St. Patrick's Avenue. So we can, for the purposes of stage one, phase one, we can entirely ignore that and just leave it there in the way that is laid out in the area plan.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McGrew?
So if I read that up, shall I read the motion, the amended motion then?
Shall I take in Councillor McGree had indicated a question, so maybe if you take in Councillor McGree, and then you can maybe surmise with your amended motion, and then we can maybe try and take a decision. Thank you. Councillor McGree?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It just seems to me, you know, that there seems to be a little bit of concern from councillors that are from that end of the district who know the town of Downpatrick better than I would, that this perhaps is going to derail a lot of hard work. That's my reading of the situation. And I'm wondering if there seems to be a lot of people feeling that this is not a bad idea from Councillor Enright, but there is concern that, you know, that we need to see the development brief. So I was going to actually suggest that we defer this until the councillors from that DEA are privy to the development brief, and then that they can, you know, make a more informed decision. You know, I think that there seems to be a little bit of concern, and I would be very, very reluctant to be voting on something that potentially could stall progress. We've talked about the development of Downpatrick for a very, very long time, and dealing with pieces of private ground is a very difficult issue, and I certainly don't want to be held accountable for stalling any works in Downpatrick. You know, so that would be my feeling on it, that we defer until the DEA councillors have seen the development brief.
Okay.
I'd be happy to accept that suggestion if we could revisit this motion. I'd be happy to revisit this motion once the development brief comes through.
Okay. Thank you, Kudringan, and thank you, Councillor McGree, for suggesting that. So, okay, that sounds like that there's a general consensus for deferral. Is there any other?
I would support that, Chair. I would support that.
Okay. So that was proposed by Councillor McGree, seconded by Councillor Kern. Councillor Enright, who brought the proposal, is, from what I can tell, content for the deferral. And then I think, does that mean we can move on with this matter? Is that okay? Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, councillors. That was well worked through. Okay. Item number five. The following item is deemed to be taken in closed session. Item number five is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information, that and any public may be by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So can we propose to go into closed session? Councillor Burgess to propose. Is there a seconder? Okay. Councillor Savage, thank you. Okay. So we are...
That's okay. It. Recording has started. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Louise. During closed session, on the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McAteer, it was agreed that the committee consider the findings of the independent economic assessment on the potential future economic benefit a lifting bridge would bring to Newry City as part of the Southern Relief Road proposals, to submit this assessment to DFI officials, advise DFI in writing that the Newry Mourne and Down District Council preferred option is for a lifting bridge over the Newry Canal as part of the Southern Relief Road, and include the correspondence for Warm Point Port on the potential for the future berthing of tall ships.
Okay. thank you, Mr. Mallon. So that draws that one to a close. So we now move on to item number six, which is a business programmes update, development programmes, and this has been taken by Mr. McGilley. Mr. McGilley?
Chairman, you have the report in front of you this evening, which goes into further detail around the outputs from the Council's business development programmes. For noting, Chairman, the one decision that, or the one matter for consideration is that as part of the Go For It programme, the programme comes to an end in 2023, April 2023. However, there's been a recommendation or request to extend the service level agreement with Bisburn and Castlereagh Council to September 2023 to cover off any administration associated with the programme and the post-project evaluation, Chairman. There will be a cost associated with that, but it's covered within the programme costs, Chairman.
I'll propose that. If there's anybody to second it. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. I think Councillor Ryan seconded that, so that's good. Moving on to item number 7, which is the COVID-19 Recovery Working Group. Mr. Mallon.
Thanks, Chair. And the purpose of this report is for members to consider the recommendations that will come forward from the COVID-19 Recovery Working Group at Section 3 of the report. And the recommendations are as follows. That Corporate Planning and Policy Department Communications and Marketing Strategy section to recommend a continuation of a prioritised approach to media, which is agreed on and signed off by the Director Chief Executive, similar to what we've been doing over the last 12 months. This approach provides a clear and simple direction and prioritisation for the most important communications work to be developed and delivered during the crisis, and under the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Directorate to recommend the funding of an economic study led by University of Ulster Jordanstown Economic Policy Unit to understand the impact of COVID-19 on the future travel to work behaviour of our working population across the district. So I'm happy to take a proposer and a seconder or any questions.
Councillor Stokes, are you content to propose? I think he is.
Yes, Chair, sorry, yeah.
Councillor Hoyle, are you happy to second?
Yeah, happy to second.
Okay, thank you very much. That moves us on to item number eight, which is the Levelling Up Fund, and this is taken by Mr. McGilley.
Sorry, Chairman. The report details, Chairman, this is some background information in relation to the Levelling Up Fund, which has been a funding stream announced by the Ministry for Housing, Communities and Local Government based in Westminster, Chairman. The programme is a four-year programme running from 2021 to financial year 24-25. With around £800 million designated of a £4 billion pot for Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. The first call, Chairman, is open now for applications in June of this year, and it covers capital programmes around transport, urban regeneration and cultural assets, Chairman. So the challenge moving forward is that under the programme, the council, all councils in Northern Ireland will be allocated capacity funding to develop projects. However, if we were to go for the June round, we wouldn't be able to avail of that funding to develop a bid. Chairman, the recommendation in relation to the Levelling Up Fund would be that we assess the potential for applications in future rounds and utilise the capacity funding to build these projects, Chairman. One of the key criteria in the first round will be the ability of projects to implement spend in the current financial year, which will be challenging for large-scale capital projects. The other aspect of the fund is the Community Renewal Fund, Chairman, which will fund applications around skills, local business support, community in place, and supporting people into employment, and is seen as a pilot scheme for the Shared Prosperity Fund that will come hopefully next year, Chairman. And the recommendation is that we explore potential funding applications with key stakeholders such as the local colleges, etc., who are best placed to deliver some of the programmes around skills and employability. And we would recommend that we work with those to develop joint bids, Chairman. So those are the two recommendations contained, key recommendations contained within the report, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor Stokes, I think you have a question.
Yeah, two things. I just want to absolutely, it's good news. And make sure, make a plea, Chair. I'm sure you would join me that we don't miss the boat on any of this by not, just that we don't sort of kick the tin down the road in this, that we seize the opportunity if there are opportunities there. I don't know whether it would fit in, for example, being parochial, Chair, that maybe is it something that the project board looking at the Elder Basin Park could have a look at and work something up, if that's a possibility. But just that we don't, that these things come and go, and obviously the quicker you're in, but I do appreciate our officers are very busy, and these things don't write themselves. The more time consideration you give, the more likely you may be to succeed. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Does Mr. McGilley or Mr. Mullen want to come in there just to answer that quick question?
I suppose, Chairman, just to be clear, the rationale for applications in June is that projects have to be they would need to be shovel ready. So you'd probably be at a stage where you have your planning in place and procurement in place. And while council would have a number of projects, we wouldn't be confident that they would be able to get up and spend money in the current financial year. That is the key challenge, Chairman. And the fund will be open in other years. We haven't got the detail around that. However, an application now may deter you from other applications in the future, as there will be a geographical spread to these applications across councils and across the themes.
I think to add to that, Chair, having access to this development fund allows us to develop as robust a business case and as robust a bid as we possibly can, so as the likelihood of being successful through the fund is increased. So we're keen that we don't rush in and just put a bid in for the sake of it, that we want to avail of the capacity funding and develop a really strong, robust bid that'll have more success and more likelihood of success.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Burgess, you're happy to propose?
Yes, Chair, I'm happy to propose and take the officer's recommendation there, but also it's good to see that there's money there after Brexit, because I thought there wasn't going to be any, and there's a lot of money floating about now within the British government, and I would take as much of it as I could take. So I propose that we set up as many projects as we can and get as much as we can out of it. So, Chair, I'm happy to propose.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Councillor Stavage, you're happy to second?
Yes, Chair. I'm happy to reiterate what's been said, but also to highlight the fact that, it's important that we aren't behind the eight ball when we apply for these schemes, and it'll be very important, I know, in the coming years with other funds available that we make use of them, particularly in relation to the park, because I believe there'll be ample opportunities to apply for external funding to get that project where it needs to be. And, I commend the officers for taking the approach of trying to put together a robust bid, and hopefully there'll be more robust bids for more robust schemes over the coming years. Happy to second the Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, Chair. It was only just to maybe a comment, or having asked officers that I know that there's obviously a hell of a lot of work has to go into all these, and a lot of these projects are funding applications are coming in at the one time, and I fully appreciate that. But I just asked just what. Was there been any work done at all on the Department of Infrastructure's, blue and green fund? Because I think there's the uptake on that was low to date, and it's there's a lot of opportunities there, both rural and urban in that. So, and I say that in the context that there's a hell of a lot of work has gone into this, but we're after green. But what's happening there as well?
Yeah, I could maybe come back on that, Chair. I had met as recently as last week with the walking and cycling champion, who leads on the active travel branch, and I'm currently putting together proposals around blue greenways and some concepts that we can present to them with a view to progressing them projects through that fund. So it's early stages, but we're working with them and we're trying to establish the criteria that we need to meet and how we put our bids together and how we present our projects and our proposals. So that's work that's ongoing.
And Conor, can I just, or Chair, through to Conor, can I just ask that will include opportunities out in the rural areas as well?
Right across the district.
So perfect.
And just before we come off this item, I would just like to draw your attention to the frequently asked questions that's provided as an appendix to this report, and it's well worth a read so as you can understand some of the complexities of the fund. And that's why we're taking stock and not moving forward with a bid at this time, because it's a complex process and there's a lot of steps and checks and balances to be done before we get to a position of obtaining any funding. So it's worth a read for some background information.
That's great. Conor, thanks for that as well.
Okay, yes, thank you, Mr. Mallon. Okay, so moving on to item number nine. Item number nine is the Newry Chamber Corporate Patrons. I think Mr. McGilley is taking this. Mr. McGilley?
Chairman, this is a request from Newry Chamber of Commerce and Trade to invite the council to renew its corporate membership at a cost of £1,000. Chairman, the recommendation is that we would renew that. We work closely with the Chamber in terms of networking and stakeholder engagement around the development of programmes as well and promotion, Chairman. So we'd recommend that that is renewed.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, Chair, we have a long standing, going back to the old Newry and Mourne Council, going back decades, well before my time, a great relationship with the local Chamber. We're lucky to have them. At the end of the day, they're local businessmen, businessmen and women who get together and collaborate and try to give a little bit back as well to our district chair. So certainly would be supportive and proposed, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Savage?
Yes, Chair. Happy to second. Great organisation, do great things in our city and beyond. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Item number 10 is the Northern Ireland Food and Drink Association, and Mr. McGilley is taking this.
Again, Chairman, we have the paper outlines recommendation, Chairman, that the council joins the Northern Ireland Food and Drink Association, Chairman. This is a representative body representing the interests of food and drink businesses across Northern Ireland, both in Ireland and internationally, Chairman. And this very much aligns to our strategy around, I suppose, the development of the tourism sector, but also the business, the agri-food sector as well, Chairman. So the cost is £729, and we'd recommend that we become a member of the association.
Thank you, Mr. McGilley. Councillor McAteer, you're down to propose.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, and I do think that, first of all, we should be joining and integrating ourselves with groups like this as well. We also be supportive as well in terms of whatever fee there is. But that is, you know, what we're aiming for is basically developing our whole tourism product in terms of food and drinks.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Hannah?
Sure, I'm more than happy to second. We have to look after our food and drink section of the community. I'm well known for supporting them, Sam, so the food in particular, I like to see it doing well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you for such candid comments, Councillor Hannah. Unless Councillor Savage, you're down to propose, but I think you want to come in at all, Councillor Savage? Or?
No, that's fine.
Moving on, that then was on item number 11, which is the DERA Small Rural Micro Grant Programme.
Yes, Chairman, this report outlines the outcomes or the outputs from two rounds of funding, Chairman. The first was a pilot scheme in 2019-20 financial year, and then in the midst of COVID, a further scheme. Chairman, in total, £236,000 has been delivered to some 78 projects across the district. So it kind of gives you a flavour of the programme and the outputs, Chairman. So that is for noting, I suppose, Chairman. The key focus is that the department have indicated their intention to run a further programme in this financial year, Chairman, which they may want to commence as early as June or July, Chairman. So the recommendation would be that we would progress that scheme upon receipt of a letter of offer from the department, which we're fairly confident that we will get. Just need to tidy up the detail in terms of the values and the assessment criteria. But the recommendation is that we note that the progress to date and move forward with a further scheme when we are formally notified.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McKelly, Councillor Burgess, you want to propose?
Yes, Chair. I propose to take the officer's recommendation. It's good to see a small business has managed to get some money in the past, and hopefully there's a lot more money in the future coming to small businesses because we need to get our country up and running, especially after the COVID. And yes, Chair, I propose.
Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, just a question just to Jonathan, that around the size of the towns that will be deemed to be the rural area, because I don't think in the pilot programs, just for example, Warren Point was included in that, but there was some talk about they were reducing or the size of the areas, you know, or where they deemed that would be eligible, you know, the size of town. So I think it's important to flag that up for a start, and could we get some confirmation that there was no change from the original pilot scheme, which did allow those secondary towns, excuse the phrase, to come in.
Yeah, our understanding, Chairman, is it would remain the same criteria that would apply to Deira, Fonson in general.
Yeah, that was the original one, because yeah, I think they changed the policy to allow, you know, the you know, bigger towns, but not the big, not the Newries and the you know, the other towns in the area. But I think that's important that is verified. Thank you.
Thank you, Conor McTier. Is there a seconder for that at all, please? Anybody wish to second that? Okay, thank you, Councillor McAteer. Okay. Councillors, items number 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all for noting, but Councillor Ryan, yes, item number 15.
Sorry, Chair, can I come in just before we discuss this, and I'm aware of what it might just, I'm just conscious that, you know, this involves members of the public, and we would try to keep it as what would you say, anonymous as possible, and just if we're discussing the incident, that it's we don't say anything that may allow anyone to be identified, just to bear that in mind, if you don't mind. Thank you.
No problem. I think Councillor Ryan and Tinley are looking to comment, and I'm sure that will be as we'll take that on board. Okay, Councillor Ryan, thank you.
Yeah, I'll keep it brief, Chair. Obviously, Councillor Tinley touched on it at the start of the meeting, and there was an incident in Kilbony Park last night where a caravaner who was in our park felt the need to leave the park because of intimidation. And it actually says in their post that they were that scared that they left. That's unacceptable. We have to protect our visitors and those who use our facilities. And on this occasion, it seems like we failed because they have indicated that they didn't feel that there was anybody on site or there was even a contact number for them to contact for to deal with the issue. There is a wider issue within the wider Kilbony Park area with antisocial, etc. And we have wardens that have been sort of in the area. Also, the police visibility. I'm not so sure that the visibility of the police is enough. I think action is required for them, and they need to be out on the ground, and they need to be seen out on the ground as opposed to just travelling in their vehicles. But this issue has sent out a bad sort of view of our district. It was posted on a motorhome site for all to see that this person felt the need to leave our site. And we're only coming into the start of the season, and what we need to be doing is encouraging people into the district. So what I'm sort of asking, Connor, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm of the belief that we do have security on, but not on a Sunday night. And that's probably a failing on our behalf, but obviously what we need to do from here on in is to make sure that on Sundays we do have that cover as well, and that people do have contacts. And if it means it's putting communications with every visitor that comes into the park, that they're left in no doubt that there is always somebody to contact, and even to go as far as giving them the police number that they contact them directly as well. So thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Ann. Councillor Tinley.
Thank you, Chairman. Fully concur with the remarks there from my colleague, Councillor Rowan. That what happened last night, Chair, is part of a wider issue, and there's a very worrying deterioration in the situation there in Cabrini every weekend. I would say on 6 out of the last 8 Saturdays, there quite literally has been an invasion. I'm not exaggerating, Chairman, when I say of 100-plus teenagers into the village, going up the river walk, going through the park, getting into the forest end of the park or the Newtown end of the park for a drinking session. Some of those dozens of teenagers, believe it or not, are being dropped off by parents at the Ferry Glen Bridge. Others are coming in by bus. Some of them then make the return journey on the 8:30 bus back out of the village, and others can still be heard shouting and roaring in the forest at 3:30 in the morning. So I spoke to Connor on this. I've also engaged the PCSP and indeed the police directly, and I know all those agencies are doing their best with the resources at their disposal on any given Saturday. But I concur with what Councillor Rowan has said. We now need to set aside the norms if necessary and take robust and direct action to tackle these antisocial elements on both occasions, as in last night, where residents and visitors to our district do not feel intimidated out of the place. And the PR fallout from this can be absolutely spectacular, and we are still in May, and this, we do not have time here for officers to go and draft up a paper to bring it back to this committee in June to be ratified at full council in July. There's emergency measures required here to make Kilbrony Park a hostile environment for these antisocial elements. So I'm passing it over, and I hope my fellow members concur here with my sentiments on this, and indeed those of Councillor Rowan. As Crotley councillors, I am demanding and requesting very, very robust and strong mitigations be taken against this activity, and it happens this week. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Tinley. And yes, some of the issues highlighted by both Councillor Ryan and Councillor Tinley had also reached my ears too. So, Mr. Mallon?
Yeah, I'll maybe bring in Andy can come in and provide some background to the current security provision on the site and what we propose to do going forward. We have already had a long conversation today around how we see this can be resolved and how we can look at what we can do to try and put measures in place. That will include a multi-agency approach. It will include the PCSP, it will include the police, it will include our own wardens, and it will include our security provision. So we're going to look at it from a multi-agency approach, and we'll be starting tomorrow. So if I can just maybe hand over to Andy so that he can outline the security provision on the park.
Yeah, thanks, Connor. And just to concur that we're taking this very seriously. The report of a complaint didn't come in direct to us in the park itself or to officers on the park, but we're aware of customer incidents. So we are reviewing that, and we're reviewing our security detail and looking at increasing that in direct result of this. There was staff on the site up to 9:30. Last night, and it is the process where there's clear contact details provided to each customer coming in. But as I say, members, we do take this very, very seriously, and we'll be reviewing the security on the site going forward. Normally, it's 7 days a week throughout the holiday period. And certainly we'll be reviewing that now up until the high season starts, really at the start of July.
But I think we're more than happy in the next few days to pick up with the members outside this committee and discuss further what our proposals are to ensure that we're addressing where we possibly can all the issues that exist on the site, and that we're trying to look forward to see how we can prevent this reoccurring. So we're more than happy to take this out in detail with the members outside the committee.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can arrange that that meeting this week. Probably more appropriate to discuss this direct with the members.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley, I see you're in for a question.
It's the same issue, but on council-owned property at Cranfield. And there's been a huge influx of stay-at-home holidaymakers. And there was antisocial behaviour, very, very serious, over the weekend. And I don't know the ins and outs, the details, I don't want to know. But it's been suggested to me that the origin of the people who are causing it form up on our property. And Glenn Hanna will know from years gone by that this has been an annual issue, and it started very, very early this year. And one of the other issues, Chairman, not just related, but a huge influx of Scottish caravanners and campers. I've been talking to some of them, and they're coming over here because they can't go to the continent or whatever. But they're camping up in fields and driveways and down Slate Mill Road and various places, and they're looking somewhere to empty their tank. And I was wondering, does the council have any facilities like that camper vans can use? Because the commercial sector seems to be flooded out with people at present. Thanks, Chairman. But certainly the Amarcal name, the council-owned property there, would definitely need to try and police it. Yep. It's exact same issues as Kilbrony. Thank you. Yep.
Chair, if I could come back on that. I was made aware of that issue early last week and passed that on. And I know the PCSP staff were engaging with PSNI last week around that very issue at that very location. So, again, we're happy to pick that up with you outside the meeting and see what can be done to try and address that.
Thank you.
What about the camper vans, Chairman? Is there anything we can, any advice or guidance we can give?
Again, it's an issue that we can pick up outside the meeting and come back to you with some proposals or some.
All right, thanks, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Allen?
Yeah, just very briefly, following on from Andy's response and Connor's, it's great to hear that we're taking this seriously. But I think what we need to maybe do as well as look at our security procedures and how we manage that there is, we need to get the message out there and quickly that, you know, our parks and our sites are safe and that we will protect those who are using our sites. So maybe if there's some sort of PR can be done on that there over the next number of days as well. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, that's fine. We can pick that up, yeah.
Okay. Councillor Hanna. Councillor Hanna.
Yeah, just to follow up on what Henry's just after saying, he is right there. I've heard quite a number of reports. And just to extend that a little bit further, Connor, I'm not sure if it's yourself. More than Esplanade, Kilkeel, there's quite a few campers now starting to stay there at times. So there's the caravan, or the car parks beside the leisure centre and the car park along More than Esplanade there. There seems to be quite a few staying in there. There's no height restrictions, anything like that. And it seems to be getting more popular. And I've had a number of people highlighting, telling me there that the grey water, if that's what you want to call it, not the sewage, you know, the grey water from the sinks, you can see it actually staying in the ground now, see you can. So I don't know what you could do with that, Connor, whether it's you or whether it's somebody else.
Again, it's something that we'll not address this evening, but we'll pick that up outside the meeting and see. We'll have a conversation with you and we'll look into it.
Okay, Connor, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Councillor McAteer,
yeah, again, just on that subject that Councillor Reilly raised there, and I think Connor will recall that I've been mentioned the provision of these areas throughout the area, and like we've got to start to realise that you know, our tourism product is working here, and we're getting the numbers, you know, and we do all other parts, quite a lot of parts of Ireland, north and south, have these areas where people come in and have their disposal units. I've been banging on about, I know a few people want to do a presentation to council on them, and you know, these were people who are motorhome owners and motorhome owners, campervan owners, and they say our area we're losing some trade, but the trade we get, we can't cope with it. So I do think we need to start to address that as well, and how we can run that, and how we run in a cost effective manner. So I would like you maybe to ask the gentlemen that want to do the presentation to come along some evening and do that now, just when it's been mentioned, and again to explore the setting up of those airs.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. I think that'll
be enough, Conor. Taken up.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for this evening's meeting. And at this stage, I believe I'm to invite Ms. Ward to surmise and wish me well in my future.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just for members' benefit, I will be attending all committee meetings this month and have a statement just to read at the end of each of the committee meetings from a legislative perspective. Okay. So, due to the current legislative uncertainty around remote meetings and the restrictions on indoor gatherings, I as Chief Executive have agreed to exercise my delegated authority under standing orders to implement the resolution of the committee once ratified by Council, subject to any conflict of interest or legal advice that the decision is unlawful. So you will hear me saying that at each and every committee meeting that we hold this month. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. That then, I presume, draws our meeting to a finish. Councillor Savage, last comment, okay, go for it.
Yes, Karen, I think it would be remiss of me on behalf of all our colleagues not to thank you for your efforts and your fairness and your approach and your diligence throughout the year as chair, and for also taking the time to ring round each of the groupings and each of the councillors in advance of the meeting so that you have an idea as to what is exercising the members' minds in advance of the meeting. I think you've chaired the committee remarkably well over the year, and we're just want to congratulate you on the year you've had. A very difficult year, a difficult year to chair any committee. And thank you for the way you've handled everything over the last 12 months. Thank you.
You're here, absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's very kind. Thank you. Okay, that definitely does bring it to a close then, I hope. Thank you very much, councillors.
Andrew, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Good luck. You've done a good job this year as a non-committee member. You treated me fairly whenever I wanted to speak, so you've done a good job, and well done.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Councillor Riley. Okay, I'll
draw
the close. Thank you now. Bye now. Bye.